Welcome to month two, week two of the School of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our constant abiding companion. In the School of the Holy Spirit, we want to come to an intimate, personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. We also want to experience what Jesus called the baptism of the Holy Spirit and learn how to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We also want to learn how to live a life in the Holy Spirit through personal and communal prayer. And lastly, learn to live and move in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Last week, we took a look at making Jesus the Lord of your life. And remember that prayer, Lord, what you want, I want, what you say, I'll do. Now it's time to allow His Lordship to come in the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Remember, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to make you like Jesus and move you like Jesus. This is empowering of the Holy Spirit is what happened to the apostles on the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit is ready to give you that same empowering. Did you hear what I just said? What happened to the apostles on the day of Pentecost is exactly what the Holy Spirit wants to do for you since you've surrendered your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Our focus scripture this week in the School of the Holy Spirit is Acts chapter 1, verse 5. Acts chapter 1, verse 5. Lord Jesus is risen from the dead, and he says this to the apostles, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." In the School of the Holy Spirit this week, we're going to study and pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's one of our goals, isn't it? So we need to get ready to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For some Christians, Christianity is the try-harder religion, or the ultimate self-improvement course. I want you to stop and think about that. Because, you know, a lot of times we fall to sin and everything, and we just think to ourselves, I just need to try harder. I need to work harder. And the reason why I want to do this is because this is the ultimate way of self-improvement. Well, I want to say something about that. Christianity is not the try harder religion. Right here, right now, let's just settle it. Christianity is not the try harder religion. Do you have that down? It's not the try harder religion, or it's not the ultimate self-improvement course. In both of these, notice that the focus is on self-power. I've got to do something, right? Christianity is about Holy Spirit power. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." Jesus also said in Luke 24:49, "I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." Power. Jesus wants us to be clothed with power. You know that word right there, power. In Greek, the word is dunamis, D-U-N-A-M-I-S, D-U-N-A-M-I-S. M-I-S, dunamis. That's the Greek word that Jesus uses there for power. Okay, dunamis, dunamite, dynamite. It's where we get the word dynamite. Christianity is supposed to be a power-filled religion. And what's the power? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not a power-filled religion of your power, your strength. No, it's relying totally on God. We need to be clothed with this power so that we can look like Jesus, walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus, think like Jesus, desire what Jesus desires, and love like Jesus loves, and forgive like Jesus forgives. Remember, we talked about that before, that the Holy Spirit's work is to make you like Jesus Christ. So again, you look like Jesus, walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus, think like Jesus. You desire what he desires. You love what he loves, like he loves. And you forgive just like he forgives. And you might say, there's no way I can do that. Well, guess what? You're right. There is no way you can do that. But there is a way that God himself, the Holy Spirit, can do that in you. Jesus said, you will receive power. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you like to have the power of the Holy Spirit? Have you been living a life where you've been doing it on your own? Well, today's your day. Today is your day. And this could be one of the best days in your life. You've given your life to Jesus Christ last week. Now it's time to be filled with his power. In Jesus said in Acts Acts 1:5, in a few days you will be baptized in Holy Spirit. This few days is when the apostles were clothed with power. Jesus refers to these few days as being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so let's take a look at this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, we read of John the Baptist. In verse 7, John states this, "And this was his message, after me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Now, I know that there's some of you that are saying, I've never heard this before. There's that phrase again, baptized with the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. John says that Jesus will baptize us with the Holy Spirit, but few of us have ever even really heard the term. Or maybe we've heard it, you know, we've gone to church and we've heard, you know, that scripture there, but we have no idea what's about. Don't you? Sometimes I wish that people would just stand up in church. Now, don't do this. This isn't, the Mass isn't the place to do this. But, you know, in some ways, I wish people would stand up and go, I have no idea what's going on. What was Jesus talking about? What was that whole Bible thing about? Because I think if, thanks be to God, let me put it this way, thanks be to God that God did not call me to be a priest. Because, you know, I think I would come out and say, okay, can anybody tell me what they just heard? Because I think most of the time it goes in one ear and out the other, doesn't it? And we don't know what it's about. So what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Is it a re-baptism? No, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not about being baptized again. You've already been baptized. When you're baptized, you're not re-baptized. If you've received the sacrament of baptism, you've been baptized, and you've received the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's not what this is about. Everybody who is baptized has the gift of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an experiential release of the grace given at baptism and confirmation. Okay, let me say that again, okay? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an experiential release of the grace given at baptism and confirmation. Think about that. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an experiential release of the grace given at baptism and confirmation. Now, you see, the thing is either as adults, we come and we get baptized and we experience, or we're baptized as infants, some point in our life, according to Pope Paul VI, sometime in our life, we need to experience baptism itself. We need to experience it, he said. Why is it called the baptism of the Holy Spirit then? That sounds like a little confusing, isn't it? That if it's not a re-baptism, it's an experience of baptism. Why is it called the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, it's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit because Jesus called it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's the plain, simple answer. And I'm not going to change my language. You're going to find that some people call it the release of the Holy Spirit and different things like that. But you know what? If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. Jesus said that we would, Pentecost, that's when the apostles received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is that's the name for it, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Also, it's called the baptism because one is immersed in the Holy Spirit. Spiritually, the baptism of the Holy Spirit looks just like when one is immersed in water for the sacrament of baptism. The person is dripping with grace. When Jesus baptizes in the Holy Spirit, the person is immersed by Jesus in the Holy Spirit. And the person is dripping with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now remember, John said that I baptize you with water, but he, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is done by Jesus himself. And when Jesus baptizes in the Holy Spirit, the person is immersed by Jesus in the Holy Spirit, and the person is dripping with the presence of the Holy Spirit. In the Bible, it says that there's a river flowing from the temple of God in heaven. And that river is the Holy Spirit. Spiritually, when one is baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's as if the Lord Jesus was taking them to that river of the Holy Spirit and laying them down in the river, baptizing them in the river of God, the Holy Spirit. Do you get that image? I want you to see that image. There's a temple in heaven. That's where God dwells, right? And from that temple is flowing this river. And Jesus, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, spiritually, what Jesus is doing is you're going down into that river. Just like, have you ever seen movies when people are baptized in the river? Or people are baptized in the River Jordan? Maybe you've seen movies on the life of Christ where he goes to the River Jordan and John the Baptist, he baptizes Jesus, right? And he immerses him, he dunks him in the water. Well, when you experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit, spiritually what is happening is, again, there's a temple in heaven, there's a river flowing from that temple, okay? And that river is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is taking you into that river. You're going to walk down into that river. When we pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is doing it, and you're going to walk down spiritually with Jesus into that river, and he's going to immerse you in that river. He's going to immerse you in the Holy Spirit so that you're dripping with the Spirit of God. Now, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't you love to be dripping with the Spirit of God? One time, the Lord Jesus said to me, "You know what the problem is with my church?" And I said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said this, "They dry off. They dry off." You know, when we're baptized, you know, that water's poured on us, the Holy Spirit infills us. And again, he said to me, "Do you know what the problem is with my church? They dry off. We're baptized, then we dry off." Church, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is when we allow Jesus to immerse us again. And we're dripping with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Can't you imagine? I've got to think that that's what it's about to be a Christian. I've got to imagine that that's what this whole thing is about. It's about dripping with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. I've got to imagine that the apostles were dripping with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. When did Jesus baptize the apostles in the Holy Spirit? He says, in a few days. And the few days later of which Jesus spoke was Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Pentecost is when the apostles were baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's when they were clothed with power on high. On Pentecost, you could tell that the apostles were dripping with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit didn't just come once in them either. In Acts chapter 4:31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So, okay, we've got in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes, and then in Acts chapter 4, the Holy Spirit comes. Seems to be the same thing. Pentecost was not meant to be a one-time event in the church. Let me say that again. Pentecost was not meant to be a one-time event in the church. It was to be for every believer throughout time. Pentecost is meant for you. Holy Father of blessed memory, Pope John Paul II, was once asked, remember this? Holy Father, when you pray, what do you ask of God? And the Holy Father answered, more of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is meant to come to us more and more and more. You see, because we need more of the Holy Spirit. We need to become convinced of this, church. Pray this. I need more of the Holy Spirit. Go ahead, pray it. I need more of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus in John chapter 3, verse 34. John chapter 3, verse 34. The Lord Jesus says this. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God gives the Spirit without measure. The problem, there it is. We receive the Spirit in measure. See, God wants you to give you the Holy Spirit without measure, in great abundance, more and more and more of the Holy Spirit. You know, again, we need to pray that from our hearts. I need more of the Holy Spirit. Every day I pray, God, baptize me afresh in your Holy Spirit. Every day. It's not meant to be a one-time experience. So, what does Pentecost, does the baptism of the Holy Spirit look like? I know this is an interesting question, but really, what does Pentecost look like? Peter could tell, he could see what it looked like when the Holy Spirit came. You could tell in the Acts of the Apostles when the Holy Spirit came. In Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 48, Acts 10, 44 through 48 says this, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. How did they know that the Holy Spirit had come? Well, you and I know that the Holy Spirit is a spirit. You can't see him. So it says right here that that they knew that the Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. How did they know? Verse 46, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Some translations say prophesying. They heard them speaking in tongues. Then Peter said, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. There were signs of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit had come. And the sign was that these people were speaking in tongues. There are usually manifestations of the Spirit's coming. Believers speak in tongues, believers prophesy, some rest in the Spirit. You've seen that before where somebody's prayed over and it looks like they're fainting. They're not fainting, they're resting in the arms of God. But these manifestations aren't necessary, okay? They're not necessary, but they're usual. They're usual. What is necessary for the coming of the Holy Spirit? Faith. That's what's necessary. If you're praying, God, give me more of the Holy Spirit. Holy Father, when you pray, what do you ask of God? More of the Holy Spirit. If you're praying for more of the Holy Spirit, what is necessary? Faith. That the Father will give the Spirit to all who ask. Remember, we looked at this in Luke chapter 11, verse 9 through 13. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door is opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Here's the prayer that we need to pray. And you know what? This is a prayer. If you ask, you shall receive. Seek, you'll find. You knock, it'll be open. Father, give me more of the Holy Spirit. If you ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit, he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. You can be assured of that. In the next session of the School of the Spirit, we're going to talk about how to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Next week, we're going to look at praising God and the gifts of tongues. Then in 2 weeks, we're going to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, your own Pentecost. Next week, though, we've got to take a look at the importance of praising God to open up our hearts. And I want you to understand, too, the gift of tongues, because this is my experience. Most people who pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, most of those people receive the gift of tongues. So open up your hearts and get ready. And I want to encourage you again, be praying for more of the Holy Spirit. Just keep going to God and say, Lord, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want to be dripping with your presence and your power. For it's in Jesus' name, amen.